The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lenox, Stockbridge. Watching us on Channel 1301 on cable and, of course, the PCTV Select app. I'm glad to have you here this morning. Sean Sayre here with you on Friday. It's February 6th, Super Bowl weekend. That's right. Believe it or not, the Patriots back after all these years. Well, you know, I mean, we've been to a lot of Super Bowls and won a lot of Super Bowls, right? But here we are again with Drake May, who did not make MVP, by the way. He did not, although it sounded like both Vrabel and McDaniel won the Coach of the Year and Assistant Coach of the Year last night. So good news there. But Drake May just missed out by a very thin margin, apparently. All right. We've got a great show coming up for you this morning. We have Earl Persip. He is City Council President here in Pittsfield. And glad to have him on the show for the first time since he was elected president in January. And we're going to be talking about all kinds of big issues here facing the city of Pittsfield and greater. He's going to take us through some of the items on the City Council agenda coming up this week and lots more with Earl Persip. So stick around for that. First of all, let's get back to our weather forecast and see what fresh hell we have coming for this weekend. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Extreme cold warning in effect from 6 p.m. Saturday to 1 p.m. EST Sunday. Today, partly sunny this morning, then becoming mostly cloudy. Cold with highs in the upper 20s. Southeast wind around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, snow. Snow accumulation around an inch. Night is cold. Near steady temperature around 18. South wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of snow 80%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
And of course, that forecast only for the next 24 hours or so kind of leaves out the big story, drops the lead there a little bit, which is that Saturday night into Sunday, very, very cold, single digits or below, big wind chills in the minus 30 to 35 range. Super Bowl Sunday only getting up to about 10, I hear. And also the wind kind of drops off a little bit, but you know, it's kind of a good day to be inside and enjoying some family and some fun with the Super Bowl. You notice that I have my previous Super Bowl champion hat here on the desk this morning for our radio viewers. It is the Super Bowl 53 champion hat, which I think is the last time the Patriots were in the Super Bowl and won with Mr. Tom Brady. You might remember that. So it's been a little while, 7 years. They're getting back there, and we'll see. I think, though, that the rest of the country seems to be wanting the Seahawks in this. I don't know, Earl. What do you think of that?
Well, I'm a Giants fan, let's start there.
Well, you got a new coach, right?
Yeah. So
coming up next
Patriots,
year.
I've never been a big, like, as everybody else, Giants fans and others, Patriots hater. Doesn't bother me that they win.
Yeah.
Like, just makes our two wins against them better.
I was going to say that the Giants have never lost a Super Bowl to the Patriots.
That's keep winning.
Yeah.
If we're not going to win, keep winning.
I honestly thought we were going to have a Patriots-Bears Super Bowl. I thought
that would have been pretty cool.
That would have been glorious.
That would have been pretty cool. Yeah. But the Bears need to do something finally.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Well, just that they were in contention at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Was probably good for Chicago fans. Yeah. But we'll take it when we get it. I don't think we're going to see another dynasty coming anytime soon. But
I don't know. You might.
It's a pretty unusual thing.
I think this team is, they're good. Funny. I have a bunch of friends who are Patriots fans, and in the beginning of the year, I asked one of them, is Drake May the guy? Mm-hmm. No, not the guy. Not the guy. Not the guy. I asked him last weekend, is he the guy? Nope, he's not the guy. I'm going to keep saying that until they lose.
And, of course, we heard things all throughout the season, like they had a weak schedule and they didn't play any big teams. And, of course, they were winning. Then Denver lost their quarterback. Of course, they were going to win that
game. It's the NFL.
Right.
There's no weak. I mean, On paper, yeah, but the NFL, anybody can win. That's what makes the NFL great. Like, anybody can beat anybody at any point.
And clearly, you know, having a couple of 4-13 seasons and then coming back with a 13-4 season didn't seem possible either. So lots of stuff can happen. Anything can happen.
I think they're well coached and they got some good players. So.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it'll be fun day anyway. Everybody watches the Super Bowl, except for the people that watch the Puppy Bowl or do the alternate programming, which I can understand also, and there's no problem there. But this will be a day, at least in New England, where it's a nice day to stay inside and watch TV and stay out of those wind chills and the cold weather.
Yep. Yeah,
that's what people will do. Well, so thanks for being on the show here this morning. First time since you were elected president of the council. Congratulations
on that.
You're a couple meetings in already.
Two, yep.
Coming up on the third one this Tuesday. So tell us, now that you've had a taste of that for a couple of meetings, what's different about sitting in that chair and all the stuff that happens before it versus sitting in a different chair and being able to participate as a counselor? Because you're, what, a fifth term now? Is this the fifth?
Yes, this is my fifth term. Yeah. I had to think about that for a minute. It's a lot different. There's a couple of different things. During the meeting, the participation factor I like debating. Mm-hmm. I like having conversation. Mm-hmm. I think I bring a unique point of view to things. There was something happening last week, and I forget what item it was, but the counselors were going back and forth, and I thought I had an easy solution, but I cannot interject that solution at that time of debate. So that's hard to do.
Mm-hmm. So it's a different role, really.
It's a different role.
It's a parliamentarian role. You're really managing how the meeting runs versus the outcome of the meeting, because that's going to be decided by the votes of the counselors.
Yeah. And you'd be I was surprised how much you have to keep track of during the meeting. You're going to see me looking down a lot, writing things down, keeping track of who's speaking, thinking about what rule could possibly come up next. Reading the names, first of all, I'm terrible at names in the first place. And then the way people scribble their names on that piece of paper
for the open microphone.
And there's one young lady who was spoken twice, and I've said her name wrong twice. I'm never going to get it right now at this point. I'm going to apologize to her next time I see her. It's just one of those brain things where, like, as soon as you get it wrong more than once,
it's burned into your brain.
During the meetings, it's just keeping track of everybody and making sure people are following the rules and there's decorum up there and everybody's being respectful. And it's just, it's a lot going on, and it's a lot different. Yeah. It's a lot different. I'm up for the challenge of trying something new, especially on the fifth term. I think it's important to get different leadership up once in a while. Mm-hmm. And so let's try it out.
Yeah. And of course, you have a couple new city councilors there this year. Not a huge turnover, just two new ones out of 11. So there's a little bit more continuity, if you will, from the previous council.
Yeah, it reminds me of my first year where there was only two new people, myself and Councilor Moon at the time. Mm. It's a little different when you come in as the two new and there's only two new, it can be overwhelming. I think our two new councilors have hit the ground running. They seem like they're really involved already.
Yeah.
You know, some people when they become a counselor, some people jump right in. Mm. Some people sit back and kind of take it all in and kind of feel it out a little bit.
Well, there's a lot to learn.
There's a lot to learn. You everyone does it differently. Mm-hmm. So just because you may see your counselor jumping in or you don't see your counselor jumping in, remember, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of personalities up there. There's a lot of information out there. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone looks at the agenda. They look at the front two pages, three pages. Sometimes that agenda can be 700-800 pages long. Like,
with all the attachments.
Yes.
Yeah. Probably most people don't even ever see. I think if you follow it at all, certainly some of the counselors will post the agenda when it is available, usually on a Thursday before the meeting. And again, it might be just those first couple of pages, so you sort of get the headlines of the kinds of things you're going to discuss. But you don't get the, like you said, hundreds of backup pages that show you. And the counselors have to read all those and be up to speed with it before they're going to make a decision on that. It's not just the headline in the agenda.
Yeah, and sometimes a lot of if we were real honest with ourselves, a lot of the questions we ask are answered in the agenda backup documentation. Mm. But we know residents and citizens aren't reading all that stuff.
Right.
So a lot of times I would ask a question I knew the answer to, but I know someone at home sitting at home or listening at home
right.
doesn't know the answer, and that's a question they would ask. So a lot you'll see a lot of that. Counselors know a lot before they ask a question. They'll touch base. You know, if you do your due diligence and reach out beforehand about questions you know beforehand, I think that's always good. It helps prepare the staff to have a correct answer for you. I know when I used to debate, when I was, not the president, conversation spurs questions too. So,
Brings up things that you might not have even thought of coming into the meeting, right? That someone might actually change your perspective on it.
Absolutely. And you should go in a meeting pretty open about that, because there's 10 other views and up there. Not saying, I personally probably I get along with everybody, right? Doesn't mean we agree on everything.
Right.
We think about things differently. We have debate. We have conversation. I disagree a lot with somebody, but we still have that conversation. We're still respectful of each other. Mm-hmm. So that's what's good about this council. I think, as you might see at the meeting some back and forth and people disagreeing. But I think behind the scenes, everyone's very respectful, communicates, everyone knows what everybody, no one's holding back anger or talking behind people's back. Mm-hmm. They're having the conversations. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. What goes into putting the agenda together? Because that's another responsibility of the president that maybe people don't see if they're just watching the meeting. And I know, from the early days of covering Pittsfield meetings for PCTV, I remember that we used to only cover the city council meetings. We didn't cover all of those other subcommittee meetings and all the things that sort of feed into the agenda of the city council. So a lot of times when things were decided and I was watching the meetings and they would just go bing, bang, boom, and it was approved and whatever. I'm like, well, what was that even about? Right?
Yeah. So that's a lot of things a lot of the agendas when it's sent to me, is just communications from the mayor. We'll start there.
Yep.
Those are just communications from the mayor. There'll be appointments from the mayor. There's nothing I do there besides look at them and make sure they're the right.
Right.
Make
sure this particular agenda looks like we got about 7 of those right off the top.
And then depending on there's communications from boards and commissions and that stuff's all like predetermined. Like it's all coming, it's all set. And then when a counselor or a citizen puts a petition in, I have to decide where it goes. Does it go under new business? Does it go? Rule 27 allows me to directly refer it somewhere.
Mm. That's the mysterious Rule 27 that most people, if you haven't been watching meetings, you don't know what that is. So tell us what Rule 27 does.
So the president just is allowed to automatically refer something to one of the subcommittees.
Mm. It's without any debate at the city council level.
Now, with that rule, at the end of the meeting, we go, is there anything under Rule 27? Mm. And any counselor can take that off the referral, and they can speak about it. Mm. They can call for a vote. Sometimes, most times, they just want to speak about it. They want to maybe amend it and then send it to where we are going. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, it's just to save some time. We know it's going to go there.
It's going to get a greater discussion in the committee. Why take up the city council time?
Yeah, you want things to go to committees. Mm-hmm. Committees really do the work. Mm. The conversation with the public can be more in depth. Anytime you file a petition and it goes to a committee, I think that's where it gets its best work done, and things really get hammered out and then comes back to us for approval. I don't want to also send something somewhere where a counselor doesn't want it to go. Mm. They may be thinking something different.
So sometimes you don't have an indication from a counselor where it might go. You're making that decision. You're saying, okay, this is a money issue. It's got to go to finance. Or if it's rules, it's got to go to ordinances and rules, something like that.
So I noticed that my first meeting that, they would send it to the city clerk. And then she would put the agenda together. And then she would send it to me. And then I would have to figure out where those kind of things were going. So I asked counselors just to communicate with me via email when they send that in. Just give me a heads up if you want it to go somewhere.
Indicate that.
Yep, yeah. Indicate that. I will do my best to make sure that happens. Yep. I think communication is the key. I don't want to send something off where they wanted to go to public health and safety, but it should go to ordinance and rules, or maybe it needs to go two places. Mm-hmm. So that's a key. And then when a citizen, hopefully, you know, I've only had a handful of citizen petitions in those two meetings. I try to reach out to them if possible, make sure they understand the process, because some people do a petition and they want, like, there's this week, there's a report for, you know, snow removal stuff right there.
Yeah.
You know, I want them to understand that it has to go to the commissioner. So I'm just referring it right to the commissioner ahead of time. We can't, there's no, he's not going to have the report before, like at this meeting, because he doesn't have the petition until the meeting happens. So just let them know if I can, if I can reach out to them. I'll do that. So
that's interesting too, because you know, people listening, I we've run into people that have never been to a meeting or don't know how the meetings run at all. So there's the whole mechanics of the meeting of whether you have the floor and what kind of motion you're making, and you know, if you're filing something, referring something, tabling something. Those are all right. I mean, you have to sort of be an.
So that's where
it's kind of inside baseball.
That's where your
stuff.
Brain has to be like, all right, and it's a lot, because and when you're sitting on the council seat. The other council seats, right? You don't got to, you kind of really don't have to think about that too much, right? Because you get guided by the president.
Right.
And so,
sort of like being the quarterback in a way, right?
It's being the quarterback. And sometimes I'm going to get it wrong. I got one wrong. Councilor Warren corrected me. I made a joke about this being, you know, first day up here, and which is fine. I'm not perfect, and I'm not going to pretend to be perfect. So if you think you're going to get this perfect, rules person, I will ask the question. If I don't know, I'm going to ask usually the city solicitor or the vice president.
That's what you got them there for.
Yeah, that's what they're there for. So let's just get it right. That's the most important thing. We don't have to pretend like everybody knows everything all the time. Like, that's the world that everyone thinks that should be the place is just, it's not realistic.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and there is some muscle memory involved with it, too,
correct?
Right?
Yes,
we'll as it goes along, those are things that just happen, and then even the new counselors will sort of get the rhythm of it as well.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, it's calling on counselors, trying to when there's you ask for a debate and hands start shooting up, you got to look both ways and try to catch, because you don't want to miss somebody. I've missed Councillor Cunningham a few times because he's right to my right.
Yeah,
he's just out of my field of vision, and I keep missing him because he just puts his hands up like halfway.
And you want to give debate, and you want to have everybody go around one time before a councilor gets a second shot at it.
Yep.
You're going to allow a third bite at the apple in some occasions?
I will leave that. I will, if that ever comes up, I'll leave that to the rest of the councilors. I will ask if anybody has an issue with it.
Because it's probably hard, like you said before, the conversation starts and something comes into your head while someone else brought something up that you hadn't considered. And now you say, well, I want to come back and talk about that.
Correct.
You can only, it's very structured.
Correct.
Right? So you can't just have this back and forth across the dais.
The rule calls for two and that's it, right?
Yeah.
And if the counselors, other counselors don't mind letting that happen, I don't have an issue with spurring more debate. I don't think. Yeah. Cutting off debate is too much. It's just like the open mic, you know, the 3 minutes. If I feel like someone hit 3 minutes and they're really, I can totally tell they're wrapping it up.
Yeah.
I'm going to let them finish their last sentence. I'm not going to cut them off. One of the first things I did was request a timer.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be in hopefully for the next meeting.
It was great.
On back order.
Yeah. That was something we were advocating for a long time.
I don't know what's taking so long. I went to IT. I made an appointment with the IT director. I said, this is my thought. This is what I want to do.
Yeah.
He goes, all right, let's do it.
Yeah.
I go, perfect. He's like, I'll look around, see what we can have, see what we can afford in the budget.
And that can help everybody, right? Because it's hard to manage. Like, if you're standing up there at the podium and you're giving a speech to 11 people, first of all, is a lot of pressure.
Yep.
I've gone up there myself, and I feel like you get nervous, and because, you know, you want to say things right. And so, you know, everything you had planned out to say in 3 minutes, now you blew it, right? And you're going over, and you're like, now you're rushing to get that last part because the last part was the best thing, and you're going to lose that.
Yeah.
And so I can understand, you know, the human part of it. And then there are people, I think, that will just go up there and just, they're going to speak and speak and speak until they're told to stop.
Yes, correct.
Right.
And so, you know, and when you're speaking up there, you're a lot closer than than it looks on TV. It's a lot closer when you're at that podium. Everyone's like,
oh, yeah.
Feels like everybody's really right in front of your face.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just giving a small indicator of your time. I don't want to bang the gavel on you. I don't want to interrupt you because that throws you off too. Give you 30 seconds or 20 seconds. That's tough too because then they're trying to listen to what you're saying and then they lose their spot in there.
Yeah.
So if there's a visual, you know, it's not going to be perfect. It's not, you know, but
it'll give them a warning at least as to when their time is about to be up.
Yeah. Exactly. It's just, I think it's an easy little fix to some. I think there was, you know, some rumblings about people being interrupted or not finishing their time or blah, blah, blah. So I want to make sure everyone feels like they're getting their time and I'm going to start the timer and I'm not going to, your name and address, I'm going to start the timer after that.
There you go.
I don't think that's part of your 3 minutes. I'm going to make that decision.
Yeah. So unless they're taking a long time.
I mean, unless you're dragging out your name and address, but most people come up, they start speaking, then they forget that I have to interrupt them to tell them for their name and address. So then I start the timer. Yeah. So, you know, we've had
discussions. It is a process. I mean, you have to run an orderly meeting also, right? I mean, essentially, that's why you follow, I think it's Demeter's Rules of Order, right?
Yeah.
Not Robert's Rules.
Yeah, we do Demeter's.
And so that, and applause for open mic items.
We'd be there all night. Like, there's a four-hour limit now, right?
Yeah.
Like, if a topic, which we've had in the summertime with the unhoused issue, you know, open mic goes 2:30, 2:45.
That's a big chunk of the meeting.
That's a big chunk of the meeting and the meeting agenda. And so I think we should be able to handle our business in 4 hours. You wouldn't do a 4 hour business meeting in a corporate office anywhere, right? Like those are trainings, not meetings. So we need
those are
to
punishments.
Yes, we need to finish. We need to finish our business in 4 hours. And I think we should be able to do that. And you could risk your item not getting spoken about. So we have to be like the applause and I know everybody wants to cheer, but it's, you know, got to keep the applause down. You can't heckle and boo. Mm. And you know, the new thing is snapping. People like the snap.
Yes.
So we'll try to keep, you know, I'll remind people that, you know, no applause, unfortunately.
Just trying to keep things moving. Right?
Yeah, we got to keep things moving.
Trying to conduct the people's business.
Yeah, exactly.
Earl Persip is my guest here, if you're just joining us. City Council President here in the city of Pittsfield and a city councilor at large in his fifth term. And this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lenox, and Stockbridge. And lots of items coming up. We'll take our top of the hour break in a few, but let's hit a couple things that are happening in the news right now. Wacona Park, it's a project that you were I don't know if you'll continue to be the chair of that Wacona Park Restoration Committee now that you've become the city council president. Maybe you'll hand that off to someone else. I don't know.
I don't know if we're going to meet. I don't know where the committee is going at this point. I will say I was a little surprised we didn't the new version of the park. The committee I didn't see before the newspaper.
So this is basically a cut down from the original plan of a $28 to $30 million park coming down to somewhere in the $15 to $17
correct.
Million dollar range, which is closer aligned to what the money is that the city, the mayor has pledged, right, and the feds have pledged for it.
Yeah. So I haven't seen the detailed designs. I've only seen what's been in the media.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if it will go back to the committee. I have to speak to the mayor and see where they're, what direction that's heading. I would like to see the more detailed designs, to be honest with you.
It's a bit different from what I could see.
It's a lot different. Yeah. So,
but the demolition certainly of the existing grandstand, that's still moving forward.
Yeah, it had to happen. That has, I mean, there was no saving that. There was no, like, because when we are ready, we need to be able to move.
Yeah.
And now we can demo it now. Mm-hmm. Let's demo it. It needs to be done.
Yeah.
It's funny now because this process has been going on for a while and we held so many meetings as the Wacona Park Committee, so many public input sessions.
Right.
We talked about everything. And I don't know if people don't remember or they weren't paying attention at the time, but they bring up things that we all talked about at that time. So it's a little hard when you do all that work sometime as a committee member and you were very open It was very public.
Right.
But some people miss things, and unfortunately, I don't know if that's on purpose or accident. We got to figure that out.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I've noticed with other things in the city that people don't pay attention to it until the rubber hits the road. So, for instance, when the grandstands does start to come down, there'll probably be people coming out of the woodwork saying, wait a minute, why are they taking this down? Yeah. I haven't heard a thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's true. So, you know, we're going to – we'll see if the – I know our committee terms end in June, so we'll have to figure – we'll figure things out a lot before that. But we'll have to figure out if we're going to – bring the committee back together to speak about this design or give input on this design. So we're gonna figure that out pretty soon.
And then city council committees also, you were able to make assignments to that group, and there was
that's one of the harder things I've done. That's one of the harder things I've done.
Shifting some people around to different positions there.
So. Yeah. So as the council president, you decide subcommittees, and so you get elected on a Monday, and by Wednesday morning, the committees have to be done.
Right.
So you got to kind of speak to everybody, see what they kind of want, what they wish. And there's a lot of things going on because it's not like everybody gets three committees. So there's three counselors that don't get three committees. They only get
three. Three is the usual.
That's three is like most people get three.
And there's a total of how many city council committees? Six?
Six, correct. Okay. So that's tough. You end up speaking to people what they want, what they wish for, what committees they feel the most useful for. What do I think they feel most? Where I think they can benefit.
Right.
Everyone wants to be a chair, and everybody wants to be a vice chair of something. And there's only six, so that doesn't really work out.
And typically, the newer counselors don't get the chairs right away, right?
I ended up giving a vice chair to one of the newer counselors this year because it just worked out when Counselor Musso decided she wanted to not be the chair of finance. This counselor, Counselor Cunningham showed a lot of interest in being a chair and a vice chair. I think Public Health and Safety Committee, being vice chair of that, being the Ward 2 counselor in GE property, that, that's one of the bigger things they handle. So I thought this year was appropriate that he was on that, and so did other counselors. So,
you want to match their strengths and their interests, right, to the committees that they serve on.
And you end up having these conversations. You forget who said what, and you got to write it out. And it's and we had to do. I had to do it twice. Counselor Musso changed her mind at the meeting we first did it, and then I had to take a 5-minute break and then try to figure it out in the 5 minutes. And then I looked back and I was like, This is not a good committee setup. So I resubmitted the next meeting. I didn't think, trying to talk about how to fill that role as it went vacant with a 5-minute recess just wasn't going to do the residents the most.
Sure.
So it was
sometimes just taking a step back.
Yeah,
and
we need to take
a
step back, and I think I got it right this time. We'll see how these committees do. I think they're really good. I think I have people in their strengths, and I think this council really wants to work subcommittees and really wants to get some work done within those subcommittees. And I'm excited to see what comes out of some of the committees that used to be quieter. And the chairpersons of those committees really want them to be more relevant within our community. So I'm excited to see what happens.
A lot of work to be done there on those committees. And that's, anyone who watches the city council meeting, I invite you to also take a peek at some of those other, you'll see some, very open and honest conversation among the council, a little bit more informal than the city council, right? So there's more open debate. You can have more debate with people that come in attendance to give you some information about those things. So, you have to put some time in to watch it for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And listen. They can watch anytime.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
It's on demand now.
TV. It's all there. It's all there for you. The ice rink is a good positive thing going on. It was grant funded, I believe. Right?
For the most part of it.
And that's going to be right down there in front of Wacona Park.
Yep. So it's finally up.
Temporary rink.
It's up and in. It took a little longer to get delivery than we wanted. We see all the things in social media. We know it's the middle of winter. We did order it in plenty of time. Things happen. Back orders happen. Tariffs happen. Yeah. Things happen to slow these projects down. It is up and running. It was put up last Thursday, and I believe the goal is to open up this weekend. Mm. They're still trying to work out, you know, the regulators with the ice, the coolers that make the ice keep the, well, with this weather, we don't need them really. We don't really need them.
The irony of it, right?
Finally, we get the ice rink, and we get a brutal cold
where nobody wants to be outside.
Yeah, yeah. So we're hoping we should hear some news today from the city if it's going to be ready to open this weekend. Mm. There's going to be a lot of programming down there. They're really excited. It's a really nice rink. Yeah. Have you driven by it yet?
I haven't.
Yeah, it's super nice. Yeah. It's accessible. Mm-hmm. It's in a, I think, a pretty good location. Yep. Something down that way. It's really good.
I think, kind of maybe the beginning of what could be for that complex down there for Wakona Park.
And it's portable, right? Mm-hmm. Like it can be moved technically. Mm. If we ever decide it should be somewhere else. It's not stuck there forever. Mm. It comes down every season. We put it up every season. It's not this big intrusive thing to do that. Mm-hmm. So we're really excited about it. Yeah. I think it's something we get to bring to the community.
Yeah. Ending the first half of the show here on a positive note with something fun for the community to take care of, advantage of. We're going to get into some other topics in the second half of the show here with City Council President Earl Persip, but we are going to take that top of the hour break right now. We're on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and we will be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
PCTV Select is now available on so many platforms. You can get it with any device you have available, all free to download and use. If you're watching at home, use your Roku, Amazon, Fire TV, or Apple TV device, or even your computer, and see programming in full HD quality. Watching on the go? Download PCTV Select from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store for your smartphone. It's that easy and free. PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
The Pittsfield Health Department is hosting monthly wellness clinics available to the community at the Christian Center, Senior Center, Epworth Arms, Capitol Square, and South Congregational Church. Vital sign checks, medication reviews, and health assessments are offered by the public health nurse. Our social worker will be there with information of available resources as well. For more information about these clinics, please contact us at 413-499-9411.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hi, my name is Al Perlman, and I love jazz. Mostly jazz from the bebop and beyond period of the 40s, 50s, and 60s. I also love sharing my passion for jazz from my extensive jazz vinyl collection with listeners here in Berkshire County. So please join me on Sundays at 8 p.m. for my show Jazz Collector Live on WTBR-FM Pittsfield Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lenox, Stockbridge. And good morning, I'm Sean Sear here with you again on a Friday, February 6th. Kind of cold out there again. It's reading 4 degrees here. I don't think that's right. I think it's a little warmer than that, but it was about 7 when I left my house. It's still cold. It's going to be cold this weekend, but you got a Super Bowl to stay inside for, and that's all you need, right? Patriots in the Super Bowl again, playing the Seahawks on Sunday night, and a lot of Patriots fans around here. Not everybody, as we know. We've got some Giants fans, maybe one here in the house. I know some Steelers fans. I know some Vikings fans. I mean,
yeah.
they're all
Jets.
Out there, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm still a side note.
Buffalo Bills fans.
Yeah, I'm a Giants fan because when I was growing up, New York sports was the only thing on TV.
That's true, right?
Nesson you had to pay for.
Right.
The Giants were on Channel 7. The Yankees were on WPIX. Like, it just made sense. And I was like, I don't even know how anybody, not my age group, you know, like when I was growing up, you couldn't get any. We're lucky now you can watch anything anywhere now. Yeah. But.
Except for Patriots games when they're on the Fox channel in Boston, right? That's the one,
which
two or three times a year. I know.
It's crazy that we have to do this.
Yep, it's nuts. Yeah. In a time when you can watch anything, but not that.
Correct. Yeah. It's wild.
We've had lots of conversations with Howard Herman about that conversation, that particular issue. And it's a tough issue. Tough issue.
It's really not. It's an easy fix, but
it would
you
be.
Know, the federal government doesn't want to just help us out.
No.
NFL doesn't want to either.
They want to protect their territories. So yeah. It's really in the affiliates, but that's another story.
Yeah.
Let's do the weather forecast one more time here before we're done, and we'll be right back. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Extreme cold warning in effect from 6 p.m. Saturday to 1 p.m. EST Sunday. Today, partly sunny this morning, then becoming mostly cloudy. Cold with highs in the upper 20s. Southeast wind around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, snow. Snow accumulation around 10 inch. Not as cold. Near steady temperature around 18. South wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of snow 80%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Snow around an inch. We can handle that.
Yeah.
We just had an 18-inch snowstorm here 2 weeks ago in the Berkshires. No problem.
I just cleared my roof off, so I got plenty of room.
It took a while to dig out from that storm. We hadn't had a storm like that in a while.
Yeah.
How did the city do clearing the roads and keeping everything going?
I think for the most part, really well. I mean, especially, people are probably going to bang in their heads against the car radio right now or the TV. But I think we're down 7 guys on highway. Mm. You know, I was talking to one of the deputy commissioners, and we have like 35 subcontractors, and only 20 of them showed up or so. Mm. So I think we did pretty well. I think the mains were really good.
Yeah.
I think some side streets were great, and then some side streets were just oddly just weird things happen where the plow went down the road once and never came back, and I think that's just a contractor issue. But I think in general the city guys did great. The contractors that were out doing their routes did great. We can't compare ourselves to anywhere else in Berkshire County. It's just not realistic.
Yeah.
You driving down Route 7 Pittsfield Lenox Road, where there's 5 state trucks dumping a zillion tons of salt, 5 trucks for one road, we just can't do that. We have 400 road miles to clear. No one else even comes close to that in Berkshire County. So when you say Lanesboro's got their roads done, well, you're driving through the one state road because their side roads are the same. Right. I work in Lenox. When people say that and I go to work in Lenox, the side roads in Lenox are just like our side roads. Right? They get them clearer faster, yes. But in the middle of a storm, they're just like ours.
Yeah.
So.
And it's a challenge, too. I mean, I had the privilege of riding along on a snowplow for a morning drive episode.
Yes, I watched a little bit.
The Monday morning. And it was an experience, I got to tell you.
Right.
To see, what it really takes to get around those streets and to clear.
Around people when they're driving.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Like, we're telling people to stay off the roads.
Yep.
And the roads were probably pretty clear, which
by
you would have thought, right?
Yeah.
But still.
They were in pretty good
shape.
They
still have to plow around all those things, like people driving, people parked, and,
Right.
So I think the guys did a great job.
Yeah. And it's a heck of a job. Hopefully that's the biggest one we get this year. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm done.
Know, although it doesn't seem like it's going to stop. With this kind of cold, you know, see, that we're going to get more snow.
I don't care about the snow. It's this bitter cold.
Yeah.
Give me 25. Give me 25 degrees. I'll take 25 degrees.
Yeah, we might have that next week. Next week. Not this weekend, though, for sure. So other things coming up. Obviously, the budget process is on its way. This is usually the time of the year where it starts, right? The governor's budget has basically been released, and you kind of get some preliminary numbers about what that might look like. That's not even a final number because that has to go through the legislature for all the funding and things like that. But the early indications, not only for Pittsfield, but we're seeing stories about Dalton and stories about Great Barrington, is that this is going to be a budget crunch year, right? We're going to have some issues. What are the biggest issues facing Pittsfield for this year's
budget? I think it's going to be the school budget. Mm. You know, the Chapter 70 money there. We're just not, the increase just does not cover the increases that we have at for our people, right? For
our teachers, like 404,000 or something,
which should it should have been like 2 million or something like that. I think the number
just to stay even.
Mm-hmm. So we're gonna have that deficit to battle. Mm-hmm.
And then there's the whole issue of the group 11 or group 10, right?
With correct, the, depending on what you know, we get funding based on our students' wealth, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And you know, how in. We were very close last time around about if we had enough kids that qualified as, you know, for the term they use, but qualified for this, like if we're 10 or 11 mm-hmm. on that scale.
Yep.
And that could be
students in financial need,
correct,
essentially.
There
right?
you go. Yeah. And so that could mean $1 million, $2 million difference itself, right?
Which is huge.
Which is huge. That's, I mean,
you can't just find $2 million in your pockets.
No, we don't have that. And Where do you take from, mm-hmm. right? Like I always say this, you know, people care about a few things. Really comes down to their roads getting plowed mm-hmm. and taken care of, good schools, fire truck shows up, and a police officer shows up when you call 911, and those are our biggest budget drivers.
The water comes out of the tap.
And the water comes out of the tap
and it
clean.
Flushes like, down the toilet.
There's towns of Berkshire County down and south that don't have that.
That's
right?
absolutely
They've been
right.
battling that. In Massachusetts, in Berkshire County, we have towns who don't have clean water coming out of their faucets.
Right.
And so we do, right? Mm-hmm. And we have to make sure we still do. Yeah. And those are the biggest budget drivers. People are like, cut this, cut that. The things you have to cut, like picking a little at a time doesn't do it, right? Yeah. So there's going to be some hard decisions to be made this year. I don't want to be in the mayor's shoes.
Yeah.
Right? They got to figure that all out to present to us.
So that's the next step is for the council to receive the mayor's budget. And
Which we'll get that in the beginning of May. Mm-hmm. And then we'll start our budget hearings in May. I will tell people right now, you're not going to see a lot of counselors go, I make a motion to cut this out of this budget because it's already going to be cut.
Mm-hmm. Even before it gets
there. There's going to be no fluff. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a hard battle, especially for the schools. They have a lot of work ahead of them.
Yeah, and people don't maybe understand, too, that it isn't just a school issue because the funding portion flows through the city, and then the mayor is going to, and with the through the council, approve a number that goes to the school committee. And then the school committee has to work within that number, right? So they'll have a number to work with, and they'll say, okay, what does that mean for us? Do we have X number of teachers and X number of administrators, or are we looking at a reduction in force? Are we looking at, you know, closing something? And those are all issues they have to deal with once they've got that boundary, that number of what they're working with.
So the mayor will give them a number. They'll work within that number. They'll present us with a budget. We can only approve or disapprove that number. Even though they give us a detailed budget, we only approve the number. So let's say we cut it, or we said, because that's all we really can do. Let's say we cut it. We can't tell them where to cut it. You know, we can give suggestions.
Yeah.
We can say what we think, but ultimately that's a decision made by the school committee. Mm-hmm. There's two different elected bodies, and we have to remember that. The city council is not the be-all, end-all of everything. The school committee is an elected body for a reason.
Right. And they have specific responsibilities that only can be handled by the school committee. You know, essentially, they govern the public schools. They hire and review the superintendent, right? Those are major, major job. The
curriculum.
Managing curriculum.
So, yeah, we forget that sometimes in Pittsfield.
And there is some crossover, right? Because
of course.
The buildings are owned by the city, right? And managed by the city. So there's a little crossover there. There's the health insurance, right? Which is paid for by the city and through the city budget. So go ahead.
I would just love to see that when we talk about budget processes, like those outliers that are in the city budget that are really school budget. I think at some point we need to put them all in one, the school budget. Mm-hmm. Versus the city budget, or they all need to be in the city. Like I don't know what the solution is.
It's been that way for a very long time.
It's been that way for a very, very long time. Yeah. It's just like as when we talk about what we spend on schools, we forget about those other things, the building costs, the building maintenance, you know, those things that, you know, the crossing guards, I believe they come out of the police budget.
Yeah.
You know, there's just certain things that are just really school related that come out of the city side. The health insurance is a big one.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
The school department's our biggest department of employees.
Mm-hmm.
So when we see health insurance, which I heard some crazy numbers, I'm not even going to say them out loud because I'm just hoping they're not true, goes up. It's for everybody. It's not just, and we got to remember we have to take care of our employees. Like that's important.
Right. Like, because it's hard enough to recruit them sometimes, right?
Correct.
That's one of the challenges.
You want the best of the best, right?
Yeah. As I've spoken to the superintendent here on this show, that has been a challenge, is recruiting and retaining teachers. You want to keep them here in the district. And you don't want to be sort of the farm team for other school districts.
Correct. And I've spoken to her a few times about kind of some of our issues. She gets it. She understands it. She knows it's not a quick fix, which I love. Mm-hmm. I love that she's realistic.
Mm-hmm.
She understands the real problems. She knows it's a big task, and she wants to hit it head on.
Yeah.
But it's going to take some time. It's not going to be fixed overnight, and she's up for the challenge. So I'm excited. I get excited when I talk to her about our schools.
Yeah,
I get excited. So that's a good sign. Hopefully, we keep moving forward.
Yep.
But there's a lot of work ahead of the schools,
and
now with this budget crisis, it's even putting us in more. There's more work to be done, right?
Well, it certainly adds one more thing to the plate of all the things that they have to deal with. That obviously they have the middle school restructuring happening all over there as well, and figuring
the busing
out
for that,
the transportation
is. I've talked to her about that, and she kind of broke some of the things down with that.
Sounds like it's a job. Doable, it's a doable change.
But that's a big change, and that's a lot to things to figure out. They got a lot of things to take on, and they're up for the challenge, but it's going to be difficult.
Yep. School building projects is another one. That one will come through the city council.
Correct.
As an approval, right?
Yep. We last meeting, we just approved the change of the school building needs commission, a couple changes, and then we reappointed some people. So that will be gearing up here pretty soon, too.
There was obviously the issue of the PHS investigation, the report that also came through the city council for, I guess, a second time. There was some discussion of...
I think it's like the fourth time.
Of whether the city council has any control or rule over that, or whether it's really, it goes to the school committee. Essentially, it's referred to the school committee.
Well, yeah, we refer to them because they're, like I said, they're the elected body that decides if it gets released or not.
Yeah.
Right? And the last school committee made the decision not to. This school committee. It's
completely different school committee now, too, really.
And it's hard to say without reading it, or like we asked to be read in on it because we're going to be the ones to make the decision if there is a lawsuit to be paid and there's some legal, you know, we're going to come up, that's going to come ahead in front of us. It's hard to say, will there be more information? I've heard many things. There's going to be less information than the original summary, right? It's hard for me to believe that. I don't know. Like, right? Until there's less information, then what's the point in really? I don't know. So
but it
some
sounds
people
like
release it, don't release it. I'm a person that says I think it should be released.
There certainly was an impetus on the school committee side for the folks that were elected in this term. They almost, I think, see it as a mandate to say, I was elected so that we could publish this report. I think there's a lot of that there.
But they did want to... I like that they're going to read it first before they just release it. Mm-hmm. They're going to get it and see it, and they'll be able to make a judgment. Mm-hmm. I like that. It will be interesting to see what the new committee says about it, if it should be released or not. I'm interested in that. That will be telling for me. Mm-hmm. All right, right? Like, what's behind it?
Yeah. I guess more importantly, looking forward on this, because that's kind of a back-looking perspective. Have the changes been put in place to protect the students and the families and the schools from something like that, you know, going forward?
I think the new superintendent is working on those things. I think from one of the conversations I've had with her, yes, they are. She knows what she walked into. She signed up for it, right? She can read a newspaper article, and you can research a public school's job very easily and what's going on in the district. So she was up for the challenge to correct those things. I think will we be perfect? No, but we need to strive to be better, a lot better. But we should aim. Our goal should be to be perfect, right?
Yeah. Yep. So, and that's all you can do is take a big thing like that and you know, learn something.
Be
from
better,
it, right?
Yeah, be just better. Be better.
Yep. Earl Persip, my guest here this morning. If you're just joining us on Morning Drive, he's the city council president here in the city of Pittsfield, and the city council at large in his fifth term here. Lots of stuff going on at the city level, and the camping ban, which was a big issue in the last city council term, and we have two new councilors who are going to bring new perspectives to that conversation. That entire issue was sent over to the Board of Health to bring back some recommendations. That was near the end of the last term. And does it sound like now that the Board of Health is ready to kick that back over to the City Council for decision?
And their recommendations are coming back. Their recommendations are coming back this meeting. I think Public Health and Safety Subcommittee is going to want to look at their recommendations and maybe make some others. We'll see. Mm-hmm. That's where we're going.
So it's still in process.
Yep.
It's not something that has been sidelined. It'll still be discussed in this council. And, of course, we just saw recently the shelter at the First. Was something that was a piece of the puzzle to help with some of the unhoused population. We've had a very cold winter. Were some of the measures that were put in place over the last year or so, especially with some of the ARPA funds that were available to the city, has that made a dent? Has that made a difference this year in taking care of some of those folks in the critical winter months?
I mean, it just opened up.
Yeah.
There was an elevator issue. Which delayed it.
Mm-hmm.
A brand new elevator, and everyone's like, "Wow, we just
elevators are tough."
Elevator is the most expensive thing you'll do in building a project, and it's the most expensive paid tech on a construction job.
Mm. So do we get a Taconic High vocational program for elevator tech?
We should. Yeah. So it just opened up. Residents are just starting to move in. Mm. So no, I don't think it's done anything for this year yet. Mm. Now we're moving forward, hopefully.
Yep. The city did open a couple of warming centers though for this extreme weather. One at the Athenaeum, I want to say.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to see.
Yeah. Do you want to take a quick break here, and we'll come back with Councilor Earl Persip in just a moment. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back. All right. 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you on a Friday morning, February 6th. And we were speaking with City Council President Earl Persip. He did get called away for an urgent personal matter, and we wish him well on that, and thank him so much for coming in and talking about so many of the issues here in the city. We got through a lot of stuff this morning. Really appreciate his time here, and it's always great when people can make the time to come in to a live radio show here as early as 7:30 before they get their day started, so we always appreciate that. All right, I think we'll call it a day here on Morning Drive, and we want to wish you the best. I got my Patriot Super Bowl hat right here on the desk, a reminder that we've got a great Super Bowl coming up for all you Patriots fans. Sorry about the Giants fans. Maybe next year for you guys. We'll see about that. And the Bills. Oh, the poor Bills. I gotta feel bad for Josh Allen. One of these days, maybe, Josh, you get it. Okay. Have a great weekend. Stay warm out there. Keep the pets inside. You know, just keep them out there for a little while, but get them back in as soon as you can. Check on your neighbors and your friends, and make sure that everyone is warm and safe this weekend. All right. Have a good weekend, everybody, and we'll see you again on Morning Drive next week. Take care.